This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, so often we ask you to open the eyes of our heart on this Good Shepherd Sunday. Open the ears of our heart, so that we might hear the voice of Jesus, our Good Shepherd, calling us, so that we might follow him. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Another dull Sunday at St. Joseph's. There's a lot that's been going on around here. We were blessed the week after Easter with Rev. Mary giving us that great sermon about doubt and St. Thomas. And last week we had the inspiring speech sermon from Reverend Holly Oslin on food for the poor. So believe it or not, the last time I stood here in this pulpit was on Easter Sunday. So let's review. I'm never looking back to the place I was before. I'm traveling a journey now that's given so much more. My Jesus walk ahead, I'll follow you to Galilee. Focused on your way of life that truly sets me free. Free from all past hurts and pains that kept me in my chains. Free from all regrets and fears driving me insane. I know that I am dust to dust. My body will go back, but my soul's now headed forward, and I'm never looking back. Good memory. Now, why would I start with going back to that? Well, this gospel that we hear today on this Good Shepherd Sunday comes from John chapter 10. Now, two of the stories that sort of framed that Easter wrap had to do with a story in John chapter 9 before this, which is the story of the man born blind. And we remember that story and how Jesus showed his power over sickness in that John chapter 9 experience of healing the man born blind. Then the next week, we heard the story that comes after John chapter 10, which is the story of the raising of Lazarus, where Jesus showed that he even has power over death as he raises Lazarus back to life. Power over sickness and death, power over death itself. And now we have this Good Shepherd story right in the middle. And I think there is something for us to get from here and to hear that Jesus has some things to say with us with this image that we can take to heart. He talks first of all about being our good shepherd, the one who puts his life on the line 24/7. Looking out for us. What a gift that is. But he doesn't stop there. Just as he protects those sheep and looks out for those sheep every moment of the day, he goes on to say, "And I am the gate." Because he protects and looks out for those sheep 24/7 at night as well. From all the sermons you've all heard, I'm sure you recall that at night the shepherds would have this enclosure that the sheep would be brought into that would be closed on all sides except the front, because that was the gate where the shepherd slept, so that they could get the sheep in, and then if there were any unwanted dangerous animals, predators that would try to get in to devour the sheep, there was the shepherd to protect. And I might add, if there were any naughty sheep who wanted to sneak out for a smoke and a beer at the local pub, there was the shepherd at the gate to keep them from going out and getting into trouble. I am the gate. I watch over you 24/7 during the day as well as at night. This is incredible that he does this. Now, there's something important about this, about being in that enclosure, that is crucial. And we hear about it in that first reading today, where we hear that reading from Acts, and the apostles are being steadfast, gathering for the breaking of the bread and in the prayers. And that coming together on a regular basis gives them strength. They gather as a community to be refreshed, to be protected, to be healed. And it's the same for us. It is so important for us to gather. Some would call it a holy huddle. That holy huddle is important because it is that which is meant to give us the spiritual strength we need. We celebrate Curcio Sunday today. If you are a Curciista, could I ask you to raise your hand right now? They get the best seats up in the front, see? And in the choir, and on the altar. Curcio is not the only program that does this, but it's an effective, proven program that enables us to gather as a community to be refreshed and strengthened for our journey. Now, we do that at Eucharist, hopefully on a regular basis. But the challenge that I think we have is sometimes life gets tough. We have a crisis, whether it's a personal crisis, a relationship crisis, even a crisis of faith. And the tendency as human beings we tend to have is, what's the first thing we stop doing? Going to church. And that's the time when our good shepherd most wants to minister to us, and we need to be ministered unto. How often does it happen where someone will come to me and I haven't seen them at church for a long time? Well, Father, I was having a crisis. Well, come to St. Joseph's and join the rest of us who are having a crisis. It's not easy out there, but this is what is meant to give us strength to gather here. However, the gathering is not the only thing that it's about. The gathering has to do with going out as well. You know, that gate that Jesus says that he is to lead us in, but then to lead us back out. If we are just gathered here and doing nothing else, we will decay and rot. Some years ago, I was blessed to go to one of these courses that Fuller University offered, and it was on fresh expressions. And they took us around the United Kingdom, Great Britain, and Scotland to see what churches, you know, things aren't going well over there in terms of Christianity, but there are some pockets of excellence. And so they took us to those churches that were really doing well, and one in particular in Liverpool, which is just up the block from where the Beatles started. They took us to this church, and it's growing like gangbusters. And they brought in the rector, who, by the way, is now a bishop, a big shot over there in the Anglican Communion. And he was going to tell us about how they were doing this. And, of course, we've got our laptops out. Everybody's ready to lean on every word because we're going to bring this back to all of our parishes so we can do as well. And he gets up and he says, it's very simple. Lakes and rivers. We're all like, what are you talking about? Lakes and rivers. He says, we all have a lake at our parish. Everybody likes to go to the lake to relax, and it's important. We go to that lake to get refreshed, to experience the warmth. But if that's all we've got, we're going to end up rotting and decaying. It's like that Dead Sea over in Israel. If there's no outlet, it just dies. He says you have to have the rivers too. The rivers, how we take this experience at the lake and we take it out and we bring in those who are impacted by what we are doing out in the world, and we too are impacted positively because it gives us life. Lakes right here. Whatever service you attend, whatever small group you choose to attend. We need that. It's crucial. And if you don't have it, I urge you to find it. Because we can't do this on our own. But that's not all it's about. What are we doing? Now, at St. Joseph's, we try really hard to take this church beyond the walls with what we do locally and internationally. But individually in my life, what perhaps is that good shepherd wanting me to be led to do to make a difference? Lakes and rivers, crucial. Now, there's one other point I want to make today that I think is very important for us. Jesus says, I am the gate, the door. You know, doors in life are a human thing that is sort of one of those images that transcends cultures and everything else. Think of how we experience doors in literature and movies. I don't think there's any one of us that can't remember watching The Wizard of Oz, and after that tornado, the house lands and the door opens and suddenly it moves from black and white to color. What a wonderful thing. But then there's other experiences of doors too. Jack Nicholson, here's Johnny. Scary. Monsters, Inc. Every time that door opens, they go into a new place, sometimes good, sometimes a little scary. Doors are sort of that image of that which sometimes I really want and sometimes I'm not so sure. I can remember my first job was at Kroger grocery stores. And one of my jobs, being a stock boy, was also to go out and round up all those grocery carts and bring them back in. And in the frigid air of December in St. Louis, that wasn't a really fun task to do. But they had those things back then, if you come from the Midwest or a cold climate, where when those automatic doors would open in the winter, they had these huge blowers that blew all this hot air down so that they could keep the hot air in the store, keep people warm, and keep the cold air out, if you ever experienced that. Well, I had a phobia about those things. I was scared to death of that air coming down like that with such force. And so I would load up those grocery carts, and I'd be outside that door, and I'd count backwards from 10 to 1, and then zoom to get in that store to get past that thing. There are doors in our lives that we are just a little bit afraid of, and we're not so sure we want to cross. But the good news here is, even when we're on the threshold, even when we're in that state of liminality, where we're just not sure, do I want to go in or go out, or am I not so sure what I want to do? The gate is there with us. Our good shepherd is right there. So no matter today, if you're hearing a call to get into that pen with the good shepherd more often in whatever way God is calling you to, hear his voice. If you're hearing that call that I need to do more in my life to go out, then listen to his voice. But if you find yourself that you're just not so sure right now, know that he's still there, right beside you, waiting, loving. Hear his voice. Amen.